message this morning is titled, Instructions on Prayer. And our text is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Amen. In this scripture, there are 4 areas of teaching. First, Christ teaches us how to pray in verses 1 through 4. Secondly, the importance of persistent prayer, verses 5 through 8. Third, the promise of answered prayer, verses 9 and 10. And fourth, God's goodness, 11 through 13. The disciples walked with Jesus and saw him heal multitudes of people. In fact, if we read in John chapter 21, verse 25, it says that if the works of Christ Jesus were written, the world itself could not contain the books. Isn't that precious? That's what the very Word of God says. If all the works of Jesus were written down in books, the world itself could not contain the books. That's the Word of God. It's true. They experienced him bringing the dead back to life on 3 different occasions. First, the widow's son from Nain was brought back to life during his funeral. In Luke 7:14, Jesus said, young man, I say to you, arise. Secondly, Jairus' daughter was healed. In Luke 8:54, Jesus said, child, arise. And then three, Lazarus was dead for 4 days in John 11:39. And in verse 40, Jesus said to them, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Then in verse 43, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. When we believe, we will see the glory of God. It is so very important that when we pray believing, we will see God work in powerful ways. The disciples knew they needed to know how to pray. They needed to be taught to pray. The disciples were humbled and came to Jesus with a teachable spirit. In Luke 11, verse 1, One of the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. It is important for men and women to be people of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. It's a simple prayer, but it's a good prayer. Jesus teaches us by his word, and the Holy Spirit makes it living in our heart, our soul, and our mind. The Holy Spirit makes that word of God living to us. In verses 2 through 4, one of the reasons I put the Lord's Prayer up here, it's a little different than our text, but it corresponds to what we're saying here. In fact, this comes mostly from Matthew. Jesus responds, giving them the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is our example to pray. God wants us to talk to Him. Prayer is like a child talking to his father, but in this case, it's a child of God talking to his heavenly Father. There is no wrong way to talk to God. Oh, I've heard in the past people say, well, I don't know how to pray. There is no wrong way. He knows everything about us. Even before we do, He knows our very thoughts. He wanted them, first of all, to call upon God the Father. And prayer begins next with worship, where it says, Hallowed be thy name. That is worship. We are coming before a holy God that loves us. Prayer is grounded in our relationship with Jesus Christ and our relationship with the Father. The closer we have a relationship to Christ and the closer we have a relationship to the Father, the more we will believe the glory of God. The more we will come to them, and the more we will see God work in our lives. Secondly, it says, Thy kingdom come. We ask for God's kingdom to come forth. It puts the interests of the kingdom of God before our interests. Isn't that something? The first thing we do when we pray is we worship God. The next thing we do is we put His interests before our interests. And so often, what do when we pray? We come right there and say, Oh God, do this, do this, do this. No. Worship and then His interests first. Third, it says, Thy will be done. That is, God's will would be done. When we pray, we accept the Father's will and not our own will. It is for us to know that God knows best. God hears and answers all prayers. We need to believe that. And if we do not believe that, then don't even bother to pray. If you do not believe that God's going to answer, then why come before Him in prayer? God hears and answers prayers. It says in James 4:15, You ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. That is the key. It is His will. And we need to understand that God knows best. Fourth, God wants us to know that our dependence is on God. It says, Give us this day our daily bread. We ask that God will meet our needs, not our wants. And believe that God provides. When we pray, we ask that God would meet our needs and that we believe that He will provide. Five, we are to ask for forgiveness and to forgive others. This is a hard standard to live up to. Do you forgive everyone? Sometimes, Christians can be the hardest with those that they know are the Christians. And that is not the way it should be. Our standard is in Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. We're to be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. We are to forgive. What this means next is when we forgive, we are to forgive like God does. And that means we are to forget. Oh, it's hard. Because Satan will keep things bring back things to our remembrance so we do not forget and keep bringing them back. But God forgives and forgets as far as the east is from the west, that our sins do not come before him again. They are forgotten. And that's one thing I want you to realize. You know, God loves us so much that there is nothing you can do to make God love you least or love you less. And there's nothing you can do to make God love you more. He loves you. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts to overflowing. God loves you, and he wants to answer your prayers. We are to ask for God's guidance. That's 6. In keeping us from temptation, we need the Holy Spirit's help. This is where prayer begins. In fact, in the book of Luke, it stops right here. But in Matthew, it has a doxology. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That is in the book of Matthew. It's not in Luke. And I think that's something that has to be. It is so precious to have that. It's a doxology and it brings back praise to God. Prayer begins by coming to the Father and resting in his power and in his guidance. That's so important for us to realize that when we pray, we rest in him. Our next important point is the importance of persistence in prayer. Verses 5 through 8, Jesus teaches about persistence. But he says in verse 8, Jesus said, I tell you that even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. The man was persistent in asking. He did not quit asking. Another word for this would be shamelessness. He was shameless because he knew what he was doing was right. And he kept asking and asking and asking. We should not quit when we're praying, is what this says. Sir Winston Churchill, I've shared this years ago, I think, had a wonderful speech. I think this is one of the most powerful speeches he ever gave. But for hundreds, if not thousands of people, I'm not sure, but at least hundreds of people. Do you know how many words this speech is? 7. He got up, got to the podium, and he says, never, 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 never give up. How does that relate to us when we pray? Same way. We're never to give up. Sir Winston Churchill gave that speech and then went and sat back down. People had gathered from all over, and that's what they heard. It's powerful. But it goes back in our lives. No matter what we're going through, what struggle we're going through, no matter what, we can come before God and ask him and pray, but he tells us never, 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 never give up. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, it says, Men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. That talks about persistence. You pray and don't give up. Don't lose heart. Then it says in Galatians 6, 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. When we're doing something that's right, you just keep doing it. You will reap if you don't quit. That's what the Word of God says. If God does not answer our prayers immediately, he will in due time. If we continue in prayer, we are rewarded for perseverance. Jeremiah 33:3, I think, is one of the most precious verses in the Bible. It says, "Call unto me." That is a command to pray. Then he says, "I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." We are commanded to pray. Never forget, God loves you. He wants you to come before him and pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." We're to have a mind of prayer all the time. By God's grace, we should always continue to pray. From our parable, the man kept begging his friend and did not stop until he was given what he needed. That's the example God is giving us here. The example that Christ gave us. Keep praying. But the third point we have in this text is a promise of answered prayer. This section now is in contrast to what we just did. It says in verses 9 and 10, Jesus goes on and says, "And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened." This is again is a promise of God. God says if we ask him, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and be opened unto you. Remember, God loves you. He wants you to pray and he promises to answer us. God does want to answer your prayers. And he will. In Isaiah 65 verse 24 it says, "And it will come to pass that before they call, before we even pray, I will answer. And while they're so speaking, I will hear." What does God say? He knows what we're going to say, and sometimes he answers before we even ask him. Have you experienced that? Sometimes you're going along and say, "Whoa, God did something there to keep you from harm." I mean, I've experienced it. And so that's what he's answering that prayer before we even ask it. Jesus, the one who performed miracle after miracle before the disciples, is telling them and promising them answers. Jesus, our Savior and Lord, God the Son, is telling us that everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, it is open to. We need to know that God knows best. Sometimes he doesn't answer right away. And sometimes the answer may be no. I mean, I've been praying for something for 6, 7, 8 weeks. Finally, it came to pass last week just for a couple of days, and now it's going to finish up, hopefully. But I had to wait until everything was ready. Even though I was praying for 6 to 8 weeks, I was ahead of God. I was ahead of what needed to be done. God knows best, and we need to realize that. In John chapter 14, verse 13, Jesus said, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." We are to pray in the name of Jesus. When we pray to the Father, we should either pray in the beginning or at the end in Jesus' name. Because that's what Jesus tells us. In John 5:14, he says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will," according to Christ's will, "he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." That's why it says in Psalm 37:4, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Because those desires of our heart are his desires when we delight ourselves in him. John 16:24, "Until now you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Jesus wants us to pray in his name. We are promised from Christ himself to have our prayers answered. Never lose heart if you do not see your prayers being answered right away. It will be answered. You cannot make a mistake in praying. There are no right words, and there are no wrong words. When you pray, it comes from your heart to the heart of God. Isn't that precious? There is no right words and no wrong words. When you pray, it comes from your heart to the heart of God. Our last point is about God's goodness. In Luke 11:11-13. But first of all, everyone should make sure that God the Father is their God. As it says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And by believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again from the dead for your justification, if you believe that in your heart and confess it, you will and you are a child of God. When our children ask for something, we try to meet their needs. As it says in verse 13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God is able to give us so much more than we ask. Sometimes we pray and God gives us much more than we ask. We're overwhelmed, and we must remember that. This message is on prayer and its answers. But the greatest answers to prayer are for eternal life, an eternal life of others that we know. This is what God gives us through faith in Jesus Christ. God gives us Jesus, and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes us, or works in us, and gives us a living faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit works in us and gives us a living faith in Jesus. Ephesians 2:8-10. I repeated this, but it fits so well here. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, and not of works, as anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God planned beforehand that we should walk in them. God planned that before the foundations of the world. He planned everything about you before the very foundation of the world. As John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When you believe in the Father and the Son, you have everlasting life. Jesus said in John 11:25-26 that he is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in him shall never die. Even if he dies, he shall live. Do you believe this? It is so very important to believe that. That's like those powerful verses that Paul said in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul knew he was never going to die. It's gain. Our message dealt with God's goodness, that he gives us so much more than we ask. He gives us eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Every one of us is going to come before Christ Jesus. He will either be our judge or our Lord. What will he be for you? If you're not sure that Christ Jesus is your Lord and Savior and the Son of God, please talk to me today after the service or someone. It is so important that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we just thank you for what you've given to us on prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we're to come before you in Jesus' precious and holy name. We're to come before you in worshiping you. We're to come before you for your will to be done in our lives and not our own. Please be with us, Father, as we walk each and every day. Meet our needs. Guide and direct us when you give us divine appointments, that the Holy Spirit would speak through us and would be your witness and bring glory back to you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.